Are we ready to worship? Continues to love us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let us stand and begin our worship service. Welcome our choir.
Yeah, hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Yeah. I will trust. Direction, I would say, And I was able to make it, and I preached for them, and now here I am. Now, my name is Jean Hervé. It's a French name. This is my second time here, and I'm glad to be here. Dr. Conley is a good friend of mine, and I'm excited, really, for him and for what God has done. And very soon, you will celebrate his 8th year anniversary. Eight years. And God is good. God is gracious. And I plan to be with you that day. I want to talk to you a little bit because I promise. At what time usually you let the folks go? Just tell me.
By 1 o'clock.
Thank you. So I'm not going to keep you long. I promise. But I have two businesses to take care of here today. The very first business, if you don't mind, my friend who just passed this along, this is a flyer. And then also, I don't have a lot of copies of this, but some of you will be able to see why I am here. Pass this. I am a missionary to my own land. Country of Haiti. And when the earthquake struck Haiti, for some reason, as Pastor Ken Angelo Kyle talked yesterday here in this pulpit about mystery and secret, that I landed in Port-au-Prince just 1 hour before the earthquake. And I just didn't know why. But that day, 300 people lost their lives. And God spared mine for a reason, because I was right at the airport. And for 13 days I was able to drink the bitter cup that the Haitian people have been drinking for a long time. And when I came back here, I was embraced by the North Shore Baptist Ministers Alliance. Pastor Gass and I went back 3 months later with $16,000 to go to the folks in need and to give them, and he was able to see my ministry. And now he has been with me already 4 times. And I feel that the Lord, I don't like to say the Lord tell me, I just don't like to say it. But I feel that the Lord called me to take your pastor to me, to Haiti. And he has ministry, and he will have a ministry there. There, it was like a few months ago, he approached me and he said he felt led by the Holy Spirit to collect shoes, school supplies, brand new shoes for Haiti. I said, my friend, let's do it. Let's make it happen. And I hope that you're going to see, and you will see what we will be doing in May the 23rd. Is to raise at least $10,000. Why? We have found a 3-bedroom apartment. If you have this picture with you, you will see there is a house right on the left. The only one you'll be able to see. That was in 2006 when we started building. But in Haiti, at that time, people were breaking houses. They would come and steal everything they could get. So we had to fence ourselves. So which means we put ourselves in a jail cell. But here what happened is there is no way for us to get our vehicle inside. And it was last December, I went there to minister to my people, and the owner of this house came to me and said, Pastor Franco, I see that I am the one who can free you up. I'm willing to sell you my house. I said, okay, my friend, how much you asking for? He said, well, give me $60,000 and take it. I said, well, you're not selling me. Because we in Haiti are not like you. You see what I mean? We like to bargain. And I took his number and I came here and I called him and said, my friend, I'm willing to give you $40,000. He said, no, you gotta come back here to negotiate with me. And my wife, who didn't want to give me any gift for my birthday, he said, well, for your birthday, you go. You see what I mean? And then I went there. But before I went, I called all my friends. You will see in that flyer here, Pastor Cables, Pastor Lafron, Pastor Gias, Pastor Wollstone, a lot of friends. I said, I cannot go to Haiti empty-handed. I really need to tie his head just in case he's willing to sell the house. And Lake County had a service. In that service, they were able to raise $5,000. God is good. I'm not going to ask you to do that. You see what I mean? And then Pastor Cable, Jesus' name, came up with 3,000. Shiloh came up with 1,000. And Faith Bible Church in Destin came up with 1,000. So they gave me $10,000 to go to Haiti.
That's right.
Amen. And I negotiated with the guy, so it went down from 60,000 to 43.5. So you know, I gave him 10,000. So now he asked me for $20,000 more by June 1st. He said, if you give me $20,000, I will just give you the key. You will have up to 18 months to give me the remaining $13,000. So I called on my friends again and said, well, let's put a dinner together. And that's why we're putting that fundraising dinner together. It's $50 a plate, it's not the food, but we don't want, last time I came here, you gave me almost $400.
That's right.
You see, it's like a table already. So instead of you giving me the money, what you can, if you give it to me, I would gladly take it. You see what I mean? But now we're putting, and my wife will cook. So you will enjoy that time together. So I don't want to waste my time because I have a message for you. Now, all I want you to do for me is to tell me. Here is the deal. I like to call deal. If you accept a table, which will be table 8, I will preach only for 30 minutes. But if you don't take table 8, I will preach for an hour. Which one do you want? You tell me which one you want. Do you want me to preach for an hour or you just want me to preach for 30 minutes? So I am just going to put you down for table 8 for 30 minutes. That's a bargain. So, yes. And I already put by faith that you, Uncha, will sponsor that fundraising dinner. And at that time, we will collect shoes, school supplies, and everything else. Can I count on you for that table, eh?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's a bargain. I'm going to start preaching. Amen.
That's right.
Now, let's go with it. Open your Bible in Jonah chapter 1. So now, let's get to the business that we need to get to. And I promise that I will let you go by one. So wherever we go, you know, whatever we say, God will get the glory and he will be edified. And I hope that Christ's kingdom will be advanced.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now the question I have for you, the title is Running Away from God as a Truly Child of God. Running away. And the question is, can a truly child of God run away from God?
Yeah. No.
You see, that's a question, and this is not a seminary, but this is what we discussed. When we sit together, we ask that theological question, see, about can someone lose his salvation when saved? And you already know the answer. I'm not going to waste my time here. Because I want to let you know that no one can be snatched from God's hand if he saved us. Are you there with me?
Yeah.
I can go home now? So if you are a child of God,
yeah,
it means that you are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You see, now you are declared holy. No one, even Satan, can take you from God's hand.
That's right.
But we know that sometimes we can be disobedient.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. This is what I'm going to talk about.
Come on now.
In the Christian faith, there is something called a biblical worldview. How many of you have heard of this? A biblical worldview. Matthew is an outlook that the Christian has on the world. And he has a view of what we call ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is something that what is left when everything else is gone. And the Christian ultimate reality is God. It is God who will be left when everything else is gone. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
His Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So this is our view. We have a biblical view. And we say that this God is omnipotent. This God is omniscient. This God is omnipresent. This God is transcendent. Good, great, big words. But it means that God is bigger than his creation. Are you with me?
Yes.
And he's also immanent, which means he is with us all the time. That's where we get the word Emmanuel from. God is with us. Our God is not a God who is far away. So our God get involved in our daily activities. Isn't it an encouragement to you and to me? We have to hold a good biblical worldview so that we can worship and we can hear God's voice when he talks to us so that we don't disobey him as his children. And the question that I have for you, do you know that when you were saved, what you were saved from? When you look back at where you were before you get saved, do you see what you're saved for? Let me refresh your recollection here. This is an outlook of the world. It is a world filled of misery. If you disagree with me, just say you disagree. Don't you see misery all over? What about hopelessness? What about despair?
Yeah.
What about discrimination?
Yeah.
What about anxiety?
Yeah.
What about abortion everywhere?
Yeah.
What about mass killings?
Yeah.
What about darkness?
Yeah.
What about hunger?
Yeah.
What about anger?
Yeah.
What about pride?
Yeah.
What about hatred?
Yeah.
And the list goes on,
yeah,
and on. And I don't have the time to talk about all these jealousies, see what I mean? Greed, I don't have the time. But what I'm telling you, when God saved you, he saved you because the way you look at the world right now, it is the fortress of hell. God takes you out of that part. Now he puts you in another part, part which is a fortress of heaven. Are you with me?
Yes.
So now, our actions can do two things. Our actions can either bring a fortress of hell to people, or it can bring, help me somebody, a fortress of
heaven.
Which one do you pick? Which one do you choose? Did you know that when God saved you, you were dead in your trespasses?
Yeah.
You were dead. You were dead. Dead.
Yeah.
So you were made alive through Christ by faith alone. And it is his blood who justified us.
Amen.
Therefore, Apostle Paul said, we cannot boast. So now let's go to our text this morning very quickly. Jonah chapter 1. And take a look at a rebellious prophet. A prophet who tried to run away from God. Jonah chapter 1 tells us, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise. Arise. And it is a word that is easy to remember in Hebrew because it is kum. God called him, just come. which is Arras. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. But the prophet, the child of God, decided to do otherwise.
Yeah.
But Jonah, verse 3, arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Can we run away? Look at what God did. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. My friend, what do you see here is I want to tell you there is not such a thing as a private sin. Are you with me?
Amen.
Who sinned here? Help me, somebody. Who sinned?
Yes.
Jonah. Agree?
Yes.
But what happened? There is something called collateral damage. Jonah's sin has caused some collateral damage. Look at what happened. The ship is in the sea now.
Yeah.
The captains and the cargo are in it. The guys are in it to make money.
Uh-huh.
And Jonah's sin has caused the ship to lose, the captains to lose all the cargo that they have. Look, verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, and so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load.
Yeah.
But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? The prophet, the man of God, huh? Sleeper, arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.
Yeah.
And they said to one another, come, let us cast lot, that we may know for whose cause his trouble has come upon us. So they cast lot, and the lot fell on Jonah, the man of God. Not only the man of God, but a prophet. A man chosen by God to deliver his own message. Then they say to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, sir? And where do you come from?